Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. We're recording this right after the VT game. So Duke leaves Blacksburg with a huge win, 77-67. VT was 10-1 at home. So they were better at home than Duke was this year prior to this game. So we're going to talk a little bit about the performance. We'll get into the game itself. Got some topics to pick apart here. And then we'll get out of here tonight. But fellas, just off the top, how impressive is this win given those circumstances? So short turnaround, unsure about Roach's health, UNC's looming on the horizon, looks like a scheduled loss a little bit. Like, I don't think either of us would have been surprised, shocked, or felt badly had this been a loss. So flip it around, how impressed are you? Shu, I'll go to you.
Yeah, I mean, given all that, you know, we're what, 1 of 5 in our last 6 attempts up there. So,
yeah,
you know, 2 of 7 sounds a lot better than 1 of 7. Yeah, I mean, the place was rocking. You know, they do the whole inner Sandman thing, which is, I think, is pretty cool. I enjoy that. Like, I like when they get rowdy before the game. It's the same kind of atmosphere we faced in Arkansas, and we kind of withered away in that one, you know, made that push at the end. But it was nice to see us kind of jump out here and you know, get some momentum and actually build from it. They did, you know, make a couple pushes, and I'm sure we'll get into all that, but just all, you know, all in all, especially with the foul trouble late, great win from the guys.
And we gave them the fade to black, so we'll ride the lightning there on the way out. Earl, what about you? How impressed were you?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you consider, I do not think like Virginia Tech just came out and played flat or played a bad game or anything. I thought they had a really good game plan. You know, they were kind of getting us in isolation and just attacking us from the perimeter, just driving on us, on some of our weaker defenders. But I just thought our, you know, offensive execution was just so tight and we looked so ready, which was really surprising given the turnaround.
Yeah. I mean, cause I think Virginia Tech started like 5 of 6 from the game. Yep. So like they started hot.
Easily could have just kind of folded real quickly there.
And just, yeah, kind of got out of control. I mean, thank God for Caleb Foster, who has kind of a weird game, right? He makes his first 3 shots, only plays 15 minutes overall. Yep. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, for them to start that way, you start to get the feeling of like, oh, here's the just tired legs. We're just maybe not ready for this. It's a tough game to get up for. And then it just kind of flips around pretty quickly. The defense, I thought, was just outstanding in the first half. One thing we do have to talk about, though, is like, how does Mark have like 5 first half turnovers here? Like, some of those were just like wild. Did y'all make anything of that? Some of the passes were a little rough. One should have probably been flipped. Like, dude, you get hit in the chest with the ball, it should probably be
up to you. Yeah, that was, he set him up for a drop step dunk there. One of them, I know he sailed over Roach's trying to kick it out, sailed it like 5 feet over Roach's head.
Yeah.
You know, just maybe getting getting going a little too fast. Need to settle down. And
I thought there was some bad luck in it there too.
I mean, their defense, they were getting their hands on a lot of our passes, right. And they were deflecting a lot. So you just got to be a little bit stronger with the ball, or a little bit more decisive and quick about your decisions.
He kind of sold out for that a little bit too, right? Like the big guy that they have, I guess he played 22 minutes, 23 minutes. So that's a little bit more than I thought, but it kind of looked like he was almost like trying to downsize and spread us a little bit. It didn't really work. This was kind of like the last game where we're at that like 4 minute mark in the first half. And it looks like we're just going to be able to push this thing, blow it wide open again. Virginia Tech goes on like an 8-0 run, and then at least thankfully for Jeremy Roach, hits
that
a
was huge,
huge,
man, huge
shot. I mean, that's a 3-point game right there, right? And so, like, not only that, I think it was Flip who got the tip back, offensive rebound off of that, gets it right back to Roach, and I love that he gave the old buddy the little love tap there, after he drained it. So, yeah. Big time shot there. Anything first half y'all want to talk about? I got some global stuff I want to talk about, but anything else regarding that sequence? I mean, welcome back, Captain. Maybe, you know, welcome back, Jeremy Roach. Twos still were kind of not quite maybe where he wanted to be. Had a few nice bursts, but
he had that one burst for the layup, just uncontested.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that was the only one, the only two he made.
And he had the other one where he essentially created 2 points for us by getting to the rim. I think he missed the layup, and Mark maybe followed it up.
And then I think another one, Ryan, nice, had an offensive rebound too.
We did need to mention, you know, they had we did a good job of, especially Proctor, just hounding Couture.
Oh, yeah.
He got loose for at least two backdoor cuts.
One of those was on Roach, though. I saw Proctor, they were supposed to, he was thinking there was going to be a switch there.
It was either Roach or McCain. Was it McCain? Either way. Either way, it was supposed to be a switch. And I get that, you know, you're trying to, stay step and step with the Couture. So, you know, if he cuts on you real quick and you're trying to chase around the screen, you can get that from time to time. I think he had like three of them, two of them for dunks, and one was a and one layup. But we allowed the Collins kid, he kind of got hot in the first. I think he was like a 23% 3-point shooter coming in, and he hit like three threes
that they made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much did we even allow that though? You know, it's like he averages 6 points per game. To me, that was just like the typical out of body experience we sometimes see when certain players play Duke, because it didn't matter who we put on him. Like, yes, he was lighting up guys like McCain, who aren't known for their ability to, you know,
contest.
But he was lighting up Roach. He was lighting up pretty much everybody who threw at him.
Yeah. He shook Roach on that one. Had the nice little pull up too. I mean, and it's, you choose your poison, right? It's like, okay, you let MJ go off because you trust that his usage isn't just going to go to 300% of what it is. Yeah. And like, it's really hard for a coach to even do an in-game adjustment to do that. Meanwhile, you chase Padula around and he's 4 or 15. Yeah. Couture, I think, only takes what, 8 shots total. He played fine, but he never really got in a rhythm. He never really kind of took over. Proctor's defense these last few games, and just we'll use the word verve for that dude. Like, I love seeing him come back, just like shaking the head, clapping. He's got the snarl, he's chewing the gum. It's a good time to start to get healthy, start to get on a run here. We got a big game coming up. We'll talk about that on a separate podcast. But you mentioned it. I think it's worth talking about. Like, maybe there was something going on of why Foster didn't play that much the second half. It's a bit weird for me that McCain played 39 minutes tonight. Yeah. You know, like, he's,
especially because he was getting, he
didn't
was
have
getting
an offensive
haunted,
game.
You know?
Yeah. And he was getting targeted defensively. Yeah. He did have 10 rebounds. I'll give him that. 10 huge rebounds. Yeah. That's what's really
key rebounder. Yeah.
That's like, what's keeping his numbers okay on these defensive metrics. But go ahead.
I actually thought that Foster was doing a pretty good job defensively when he was in the game early. You know, he was on Padula actually on a couple possessions and really held his own there. Got switched on to Couture, I think, as well. And to me, it's like, I didn't see anything that warranted him being taken out. Yeah, I did not realize that McCain played 39 minutes. That's pretty weird.
I think, you know, at least from my perspective, McCain's just that guy that at any moment can hit three threes in a row, can really blow a game wide open.
And I think the game plan might have had something to do with it too, because to me, it was clear, this is getting into more global talk, that it kind of reminded me of that Virginia game in 2015, where we just, when we could, we were just going to push it on every possession. There was just a lot of like run outs that we haven't seen in some recent games. So, you know, with McCain being so deadly as that kind of trailer 3-point shooter, maybe he wanted him out there for that.
Yeah. And if Proctor's going to play 38 minutes and be the orchestrator that he's been the last three games, that's going to push Foster down, because McCain's just the better off-ball player, right? He's the better off-ball fit. I think Foster's been better than he's given credit for off-ball, but, you know, his role had been kind of, you're going to be the bring it up guy. You're going to kind of be the initial guy to start things, and then we'll get into our action. If Proctor then is doing that, Roach is back playing 30 minutes. It does make it a little hard. I think we should talk about depth, though. But first, let's just take a little quick break here, and then we'll unpack the rest of it.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, well, let's come back. I want to talk about Flip, but first, short turnaround. Only play really seven guys, pretty much. I mean, Sean Stewart logs 4 minutes. Any concern from you all about the depth on this? I mean, Power's basically completely out. We've seen Sean look like maybe he's going to be more of a part of it. Not so much tonight. Granted, Ryan Young was the GOAT tonight, so maybe that has something to do with it, but no Blakes again. No Blakes either. Starting to pinch ourselves if we're going to go seven deep. Hard to complain about a win, but any concern from you on that? Real good to you.
Yeah, I mean, those seven guys are playing so well that, you know, they do deserve big minutes, but at the same time, you know, I feel like Stewart had been starting to maybe creep into the rotation a little bit more, and then didn't perform so well in the Clemson game. So maybe that's kind of resulted in him taking a step back again. But I was hoping that we were going to see his minutes slowly creep up.
Yeah. And maybe it's just like you said, maybe it's matchup too, right? It's that Mark Mitchell Flip Stewart lineup, probably not the best play here when they're playing some of those guards, and just everyone's trying to lock in on Padula and Couture.
And on offense too, it's like they're playing so many guards that there are players out there that we can hunt.
Yeah.
And so just having guards out there and guys who can really handle the ball, I think, was advantageous. We were able to get into the lane a lot for kickouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, McCain, Proctor, like Foster in the minutes he played, but Roach, like, right, they were in the middle pretty much the whole game. Shu, you see anything different there? Concerned about the depth at all?
It's a catch-22. You want to win these games, right? For seeding purposes, like you want to pick up quad one wins. But at the same time, I'd like to have – I guess it goes back to I'd like to have played Stewart a lot more in the early season when those games that we were going to win by 40 regardless, right? Because – you know, you just never know what happens in March where you need some of these guys. And if they're not ready, then you're going home and your season's over. So that's the only part, I guess, that concerns me about it. It's just sometimes you kind of bite the bullet early and just get these guys some experience.
To me, it's like I think playing your ninth and tenth guy is overrated, but I feel like fairly comfortable if you've got like a solid eight, but seven just starts to, you know.
Yeah,
we've seen Flip get in foul trouble like pretty much every game.
Mm-hmm. Roach has been hobbled. Mitchell's been hobbled. Both of those come up. Roach and then Flip gets in foul trouble. What are we doing then?
Yeah. Right. Because that then goes back to kind of like what Russ was talking about with us and what I said on our last podcast, too, of, you know, Ryan's great tonight, but this was a game on the scout where he could maybe play, right? Because the way that their other big played, like there was this potential for that. But like Russ was saying too, like he's very matchup dependent. Like you, if he's your seventh and only big coming off the bench, well, maybe that doesn't work, right? Like against Carolina, I think he can play okay with Bacot, but maybe not so much with Jalen Washington. Someone like that, right? Like I don't really want him out there then. Don't really want to see him in an RJ Cadeau ball screen or something, you know, like that could be disastrous.
And what Russ was saying was like, he's like, I can envision exactly how we exit the tournament. You know, Filipowski gets two first half fouls and then we just get lit up because of the matchup when Ryan Young's on the floor.
Yeah, that's a big concern. But for tonight, I will say I was really impressed with Whip, guys. I mean, like after kind of a bad offensive game, I didn't think he forced it. He takes 9 total shots, right? He's what, 6 of 9 from the field? Free throws 2 of 5, you know.
I don't know what's going on with that.
That's weird. Yeah, the stroke looks fine. Maybe he's just in his head a little bit on that. I thought his defense, though, was like, again, elite, man. Yep. Like, there was a segment, and I was watching it, and like, I was even like talking about it basically to myself. And then Zion, I think, retweeted it or tweeted the clip of it where he's just like denying Couture, basically. Yeah. He's like, nope, I'm going to guard you bro, and like just dominate you.
Couture is trying to pivot and get around him and maybe flip the ball up.
They should have called a walk, bro, because he just shut him up, dude. He straight up shut him down. Flips. Defense hasn't really been talked about enough nationally, I don't think, or from like the NBA side either, man. Like it's holding up.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was just going to say, to me, tonight was the model of how we should be playing, especially with regards to Flip. He was catching a lot in the short roll, kind of setting his teammates up. When he was scoring in the post, he was catching in deep. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like, for example, that play that we ran right out of the half, where he basically caught the ball like 3 feet from the basket. That just simplifies things for him. You know, there weren't a ton of, he did have that one like really nice spin move in the first half, but there weren't like a ton of just plays that were starting from 25 feet out. And I thought just, you know, to me, it's like he could be the most like positively impactful big man in the country if we made him more of like rim protector, facilitator in the short roll, and kind of ran set plays for him to get the ball in deep. But it's just, you know, that we've talked this to death, but the left block stuff, I didn't see a lot of that tonight.
Yeah. And it was, and when you did, it was quick, right? Like you were talking, it was very quick. And that's really all we've been saying is like, sure, he can catch down there, but it's, what are we doing after that?
Right.
Right. Like if it's a huge turn and scan and look, I'd rather him be doing that either in the short roll or at the high post where he's a little, you know, the vision can operate at a higher level. But yeah, man, defensively was just, again, really solid. I mean, he has 2 blocks tonight. No, that was Mark that had 2 blocks. He had 4 last week. Thought he defended the rim well, though. Maybe, again, with the matchup, you know, that was allowed to happen a little bit more. But, I mean, the non-flip minutes stack up again, right? Like, he gets in foul trouble again. Look at the splits in the first half and the second half defensively, right? Like, I mean, another same example as last game. The team went off, but basically, we had an answer for it every time, right? Like every time they went on a run in the second half where it started to look like, okay, this could get back out of hand, Roach comes down and hits a 3, or like just Proctor comes down and makes something happen. He was carving him up too, man.
Yeah.
For Proctor to play the defense the way he did and then also just be carving him up where he's just putting goggles on and stuff, like dude's just having fun. That was cool to see.
Last game, the Clemson game, he gave the finger at somebody after hitting the 3 on them. I was like, hell yeah, I love that.
Yeah, dude, his swagger, man, is just back, right? Like, it's just back.
He's got to be so annoying for rival fans.
Oh, I'm sure, dude. He's a yapper, dude. Him, McKinney, and Roach are just like, all
every
talking,
time he makes
dude.
A shot, yeah.
Yeah, they're all talking.
I mean, ultimately, if I can zoom out for a second here, so what are we now, 7-2 in the ACC?
Yep.
Yep.
So that we're solidly in second, and, you know, about to enter, you know, the Carolina game, having a chance to close the gap there. I think, you know, there's still work to be done clearly on defense. Even in tonight's game, as good as it was at points, you saw some real breakdowns with some backdoor cuts and things like that. But like, we have a big man who's pretty dominant. And then we have like, you know, it's got to be like a top 5 guard rotation in the country.
Easily.
When you think about those four guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, all of them are shooting like 40% from three right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, dude, Roach is shooting 48% from three right now. Like, that is like on 63 attempts. Like, he needs to get that way up. Proctor is now at 36%.
So, right. Yeah.
Or no, after tonight, he's 39%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Dude,
he's been on fire for the last like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah. After tonight, he's 39%. Foster's 42%. McCain's 40%. I mean, find me a better backcourt, right? Like, I don't know. And
I think that's when we get, that's why we get frustrated when the offense is like, it bogs down or it just looks very predictable. It's like, we've got the talent to be like the number one offense in the country. It shouldn't be sitting at like 11th or 10th or whatever it is now.
Right.
I know that's still really good, but if you're the number one offense, you can have some defensive issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roach at 48%. I mean, we talked about it in the summer, not on the podcast, but you know, amongst ourselves about the kind of Quinn Cook role, right? Like what Quinn did as a senior, going, you know, from whatever his 3-point shooting had been to, you know, to what
it
was.
Grow hard, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
hard.
I was gonna be happy with like 35%, honestly. I think that's what I said to you guys.
I mean, it's kind of remarkable, really, when you talk about like increasing your 3-point percentage, like from your career numbers, like what, 12.5% or something like
wild. Especially when it's been 3 years before that he hadn't shot that well, right? It's not like he came in as a freshman and struggled to shoot, and that it's not like the Luke Kennard thing where you're like, okay, that guy shot 30%, but he's a 40% 3-point shooter.
Right.
This is a guy who like had never shot the three well throughout his career, and then, you know, something just clicked for him. I don't know if the mechanics don't look any different for me. Maybe it's just confidence.
But it just looks
the type of shots
soft.
A lot more
too,
catch
right?
and shoot. Like, yeah. It's not a lot of off the bounce. I mean, he still shoots them off the bounce, but he gets a lot of those corners where you just swing it around. He's ready for it.
And it doesn't look like a difficult shot for him. Like, this is the weird way to describe it, but like, it looks like closer than it did. Like, you know how like a Foster or McCain or whoever, like they can shoot a three and it looks like a long three. Like, Roach is just taking these, just makes him look like butter. Like, he's just out there playing horse, man. Like, it's impressive. So from last year to this year, 14% increase is just, and last year was his highest. Like, that's, yeah, I mean, I'll eat that. You know, I mean, I said it over the summer that like people were trying to say, can he be the Quinn Cook role? And like, he's doing it, but like, it's hard to do that though.
Sure.
Right. Like, I thought we were just applying that label a little too like liberally there, you know, where it's like, okay, he's just automatically going to do that. Damn sure did. So, hey, keep doing it, bro. You know, we'll take it. So yeah, 7-2, 16-4 overall. Offensive numbers in conference are like, we're basically top 5 in everything. We're the number one offense overall. We're shooting 40% from three in conference. So like, hopefully that continues to track as we roll into the, probably the nation's number one 3-point defense or whatever they are these days, you know, it's up there somewhere. A lot of optimism on the offensive side, at least. Good.
I was just gonna say, they're probably the all-time 3-point defense. I don't know.
Right,
I don't think anybody's ever made a three against them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of wild. But we'll get out of here. But I think the other cool thing from this game is that everyone that played had a positive net rating, plus minus.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. We pretty much dominated from start to tip, so I guess that's what you get. But anything else from you guys before we get out of here? Any other final shout-outs or anything? Anything got any points?
I just wanted to shout out Ryan again. You briefly mentioned him, but
you called it
on the last podcast, right? Where you were saying he could have a big impact, but those second half minutes were just huge.
So huge, dude. Like, I mean, dude was all over the court.
I mean,
dude's
dunking tonight. Yeah, that's how good it went. You know, dude's dunking tonight. Had a big block too. I don't know if you remember that.
Block.
Sorry, I got so excited and yelled it at the microphone, but yeah. Because that's what I did. I was like, holy shit, he just blocked that. All right. Ryan. Okay, podcast boy. I see you.
Yeah. I mean, 10-5, 2 assists, you know, like he got in a little foul trouble too, but like, I don't mind from him because he was just hell of aggressive, you know, like 3 offensive rebounds is huge. Crushed him on the boards anyway. So
I also want to just note that podcast, that's not a shot at Ryan. I love Ryan. I think it's funny that he was calling himself that. So
what, podcast boy?
just clarifying that. He was the man tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Big win. I'm excited. And again, I don't want to talk too much about going forward because we're going to do a whole little breakdown on Carolina coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us in all the usual places. And for some of y'all, the most unusual places, you can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. You can find us on Twitter at devilsdenpod247. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. Keep those faces strong in the verve. Go Duke.